This is the Bloomington Review with Jim Inman
on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the big show, the last Friday of June. And man, it's just, that's just hard to believe, Pillar, that it is, Mr. Pillar, excuse me, you're the educator, I forgot. It's hard to believe that that July is next week.
Yeah, how about that? With you're probably getting warmed up for your annual duties that we'll talk a little bit about later on the 4th. But yeah, we got summer was officially almost halfway over, which is a little scary.
Yeah, and in fact, since you know I love all things Christmas, on Thursday it was Leon Day, which is the midway point to Christmas Day. You flip Noel to make it Leon Day.
I don't know anything about that.
You know, that's all it is. So glad you're joining us here on a somewhat wet, somewhat muggy start to the weekend. And the deluge that occurred on Thursday morning kind of took a few people by surprise.
It was a big one. It was dark. Man, I'll tell you what. It's been nice because it's light out about 5:45, 6 in the morning now, and
it's not nice.
My gosh, it was 7:30. We talked about daylight savings time last week. We can't do that anymore.
I know.
Live with it, love it, accept it. It's great. 9:30 at night, still light out. Love it. It was dark. It was storming. Some nice thunder rumbles. So
about the first 30 seconds of when I woke up Thursday morning and it was dark out, I'm like, this can't be right. My clock is off, and I get to go back to bed for a while. And then I realized it wasn't quite the case.
So. How do your dogs do in the storms?
Dogs do great inside. Mm-hmm. The lightning, the thunder, nothing like that bothers them. Mm-hmm. When I let them out to go outside to do their thing, as we all know, they made about 4 steps out in the rain and said,
No, I can hold it.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, I can cross my paws, and we'll be just fine with that.
All right.
Hey, we were supposed to have Cullen McCarty, the president of Smithville Communications, on the show this week. However, as he had told us last week when we were talking about all of this, that he was going to be traveling and would be coming straight from the Indianapolis airport to do the show. And sure enough, flight delays kicked in. Excuse me. And so Cullen is AWOL this week from the program. So we are punting a little bit and doing a little bit of a live show, plus also a best of. We're going to bring back the interview with Mr. Phil Lowe, the Monroe Hospital CEO. He was on back in early part of May, so we will have that encore interview with Phil here in just a little bit. If I had been a little bit more prepared and had some things, I would have had a backup plan, but Mr. Pillar, it's been a hectic week and
it has, but once again, we've discussed this how many times. One of the hardest things to do, I mean, you want to talk about a challenge, try to pick something out for a best of show around here. And you can take that any direction you want, but I'm just going to tell you it's a challenge.
Mr. Pillar is exactly right. So Mr. Phil Lowe will be joining us in just a little bit, and hopefully we'll get Cullen on the show in the not-too-distant future. Taste of Bloomington last weekend, we got to hang out a little bit.
Yeah.
It was a good time.
It was a good time.
What was your favorite food consumed, or did you have
much food?
Well,
I'll tell you about this real fast. You know, when we got there, Kelly and I got there, I guess it's probably 5:30, 6 o'clock, maybe right around there. And so it was busy.
Yeah,
it was full. It was busy. Probably waited in line 15, 20 minutes to get inside, but not terrible. And so by that time, I was hungry. So I just like you said, just get in there, and I grabbed a piece of pizza from Pizza X to tide me over until I could get a walk around.
Yes.
But I did a filet sandwich, filet slider from Texas Roadhouse, which isn't really a huge stretch. But then the cheese sticks from Crazy Horse, and I got this ice cream brownie sandwich thing from Hartzell's Ice Cream, which I had never been to before.
Okay.
And so yesterday, Kelly and I had lunch downtown. We walked to Hartzell's. I got another ice cream brownie sandwich. And then last night, had dinner with a buddy and got the cheese sticks from Crazy Horse. So
Taste
of Bloomington, it reeled me in.
I heard quite a bit about the cheese sticks.
Oh,
I didn't
man.
Get any, but
they're
good. I had a couple different local brews kind of thing, but then ended up grabbing some pulled pork from Barbecue Train.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, you can't go wrong with pulled pork.
You just cannot.
So last Saturday, there was a lot of concern because it was pouring down rain in the morning, like it was on Thursday. Not as stormy, but like it was yesterday, Thursday. So they weren't really quite sure if taste was going to be able to happen. But
and it turned out perfect.
Skies parted, sun came out, and ended up being a very nice night. And our friend Julie Warren from Visit Bloomington is exactly right. It does become a high school reunion. I saw a buddy of mine that I hadn't seen. I saw him at our 15-year reunion 6 years ago, and the last time I'd seen him before that was when we graduated from high school in 94. So it was nice to catch up with Sean and his brother Joe. And
that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it was Kelly's first taste, and so she enjoyed it for the most part. Her main complaint was they only served wine in the main tent and not in the north tent. But besides that, I think it was a good time. Always nice to see Hairbangers Ball. Now that I'm over 35, I can't stay up late and stay out late at the Bluebird for their 10:30 showtime. Mm-hmm. So that 7 o'clock show start was much more in my wheelhouse. And then wandered down and caught 4 or 5 songs from Here Come the Mummies. And so overall, good night, good time.
It was.
Lots of fun people, lots of familiar faces all over town. So it's a good time.
It certainly was. And speaking of good times also, this coming next Saturday is July 4th. We'll talk about the parade in a little bit and some of the fireworks displays that are going on around the community as well. So we'll give you a little bit of an update so you can start planning for your three-day weekend, hopefully a three-day weekend for you next weekend. Facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview, all your information over there. So check that out. Also, WGCLRadio.com. We're streaming there 24/7, so if you miss any part of the show, you can go and catch up there along with other local programming as well. And on Twitter at WGCL Radio. Just keep up on the social media side of things. We're going to take a break, come back, get into some local news of what's going on, some pop culture stuff, if you will. Skinny jeans, I know you're a fan, Mr. Puller.
No, I'm really not a fan, but.
or what were the jeggings? Maybe those, ooh. You know, the. Well, we'll talk about that in the break. Skinny jeans made big news, not in a good way, and some local news on the education side. We'll get Mr. Pillar's take on a couple things as well. Later on, Phil Lowe from Monroe Hospital, plenty in sports as well, and just a good time. So stick with us if you're joining us Friday night. Thanks for starting off your weekend, or if you're catching us Saturday morning, grab a cup of coffee. We'll be here for the next hour here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Minman and David Pillar with you on your Friday night or Saturday morning here on WGCL. And forecast for the weekend, Mr. Pillar, are we expecting blue skies and sunshine?
Well, a little bit not. Friday night, if you're with us, 80% chance of showers and thunderstorms later on tonight, mainly before midnight, low around 64. Saturday, 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms before 2 p.m. Mostly cloudy with a high near 74. Saturday night, mostly clear. Low around, listen to this, Jim, you ready?
Yep.
52. Low around 52 Saturday night. That's what the forecast says here. Maybe open up the windows for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Get some of that stink out. and then Sunday, sunny with a high near 67. Sunday does look like it's going to be the gem of the weekend. So get out there and enjoy yourself. Check out all the great things Bloomington has to offer. But as always, stay tuned, WGCLRadio.com for all your weather. All the time.
So the big news on the national scene was Obamacare, the Affordable Health Care Act. On Thursday, according to USA Today, the Supreme Court rescued President Obama's health care law on the second time in 3 years, rejecting a conservative challenge to the law's financial structure that could have proved fatal. It was a vote of 6-3 at the Supreme Court, and the justices ruled that insurance subsidies created by the health law can be offered in both state and federal health care exchanges, also known as marketplaces, putting the landmark 2010 statute on solid legal footing for the immediate future and handing the law's opponents a sound defeat. Now, Congress passed the Affordable Care Act to improve health insurance markets, not to destroy them. That's a big sentence right there from Chief Justice John Roberts, who wrote the court's majority. If at all possible, we must interpret the act in a way that is consistent with the former and avoids the latter. Roberts was joined by the court's 4 more liberal justices, as well as Justice Anthony Kennedy, who frequently is in the middle on split decisions. The court's 3 most conservative justices, dissented in the vote. So it looks like, according to a statement by President Obama later in the day Thursday, the Affordable Health Care Act is here to stay. This morning, the court upheld a critical part of this law, the part that's made it easier for Americans to afford health insurance, regardless of where you live.
All right.
Mr. P.
Sounds good. Former Bloomington physician John Stafford and his family have donated 46 acres to the Brown County in Brown County to the Sycamore Land Trust. Fields of milkweed, a creek meandering through, and hills covered with hardwood. It's now known as the Stafford Family Preserve. 46 acres donated by Stafford. They didn't want to see it develop, said Katrina Folsom, communications director for the Sycamore Land Trust. They approached us about owning it outright. The land is adjacent to Brown County State Park and now helps create an even larger block of habitat for wildlife, Folsom said. Last week, there were people in Brown County conducting a butterfly count, and participants counted around 100 great spangled fritillary, an orange butterfly with black spots. Jim, I don't know how you do that. I mean, do you tag them like they do deer? I mean, what do you think?
I can't imagine nothing you on do this that.
One. Yeah, probably not. Anyway, the property's wood contains oak, hickory, and maples. Wildlife there includes turtles, hawks, and songbirds. Because it's a mixture of fields and woods with hardwood trees, it's the classic Brown County scenic area. Sycamore Land Trust officials plan to open the preserve to the public, but first have to find an appropriate site for a parking lot and an access road, as well as funding for the project. The current road to the property ends at the parcel retained by the Stafford family. A hiking trail will also be built for public use. Sycamore Land Trust is a regional non-for-profit organization that protects important natural areas in 26 southern Indiana counties. The trust has protected more than 8,400 acres of land.
On the education side of things locally, according to the Herald Times, the community gave MCCSC an above-average grade and is open to the idea of passing another referendum to continue a property tax increase that was approved 5 years ago. That brings about $7.5 million to the district annually, according to this survey. Data presented to the MCCSC school board from a poll of registered voters that was conducted by Springstead Incorporated showed 65% of those surveyed would approve a renewal of the 2010 referendum, which levied 14 cents per $100 assessed valuation. Now, when grading the district on an A to F scale, 36% of those polled gave MCCSC a B, 22% felt the work deserved an A grade. For as how far the corporation was educating students, most felt MCCSC was above average, with 39% giving it a B, 24% giving it an A. Now, overall, those surveyed supported the idea of passing a renewal of the referendum, especially if the passage meant the money would strengthen and expand the science, technology, engineering, and math programs in the district. Survey also showed that registered voters felt MCCSC could be trusted with their dollars, 64% saying they agreed or strongly agreed that the district was doing the right thing on that. So what does it mean now? Well, according to Brad Sinden from Springstead, the survey organization, he's quoted in the HT as saying it's a strong base for renewal. What does that mean for you, Mr. Piller, and principals and whatnot?
You know what it means? It means that, we in the MCCSC can continue some of the excellent work that's been going on. 5 years ago, when the money was gone, we cut a lot of programs, a lot of people, more importantly. And now, thanks to the support of the Monroe County Community School Corporation-based taxpayers, we've been able to add all of those most all of those things back, and then some things, and grow programs in some other areas. So world languages, as it said in the survey, STEM programming, science, technology, engineering, and math, and lower class sizes, which is important to a lot of parents as well. So certainly appreciate that information. It helps us optimistically look forward to another referendum that is likely in the works, and so good stuff. It's nice to hear that people are satisfied with that. In addition to that, Jim, at the board meeting on Tuesday, this past Tuesday night, some staffing changes in MCCSC. My dear friend,
are you leaving?
They actually gave me a contract extension, okay, which is outstanding. We
Great.
Love that, and we love them. So appreciate that.
I don't know how full time hiring is at GCL right now.
But and I've already burned through all the sick time. So plus I've used thankfully those 3 days I spent last week with Glass pinch hitting for Keith allowed me to get some of that time back.
I'll shut up. I'm sorry.
Anyway, a dear friend, Jessica Willis, who's been with me as assistant principal at Jackson Creek, and we were together at Bloomington North for, 6 years. She was named the principal at the Academy of Science and Entrepreneurship. Bruce Colson was retired, and Jessica was entrusted with that opportunity, which she certainly earned. So very, very excited for her to get this well-deserved opportunity. Nick McGinnis, is moving from the principalship at Marlin Elementary School over to Summit, where he'll be replacing Doug Waltz, who retired. And then Micah Heath, new to the school corporation, most recently from Scottsburg and from Edinburgh prior to that, will be replacing another one of my former assistant principal, Shannon Carroll Fry, as the new principal at Arlington Heights Elementary School. So welcome to Micah, to Bloomington, and for Jessica and Nick, some great people in new places. And then another great educator here in Bloomington, Diane Hanks, announced that she was retiring. She was principal at the Bloomington Graduation School, was the director of diversity and awareness for a year prior to that, and then had been at Tri-North Middle School as an assistant principal prior to that. So congratulations to Diane on this well-earned retirement. She did a lot of good for a lot of kids in the MCCSC. So good stuff.
Good. Hey, a near and dear organization, the Dancing with Celebrities of Bloomington, they've announced their six competitors and charities this year. Dancing for Habitat for Humanity, Christine Zerfus, Community Justice and Mediation Center, Donna Hackney, and then for Middleway House, Annie Corrigan. And then on the men's side, My Sister's Closet, the celebrity is going to be Tim Tucker. For Boys and Girls Club of Bloomington, Mr. David David. And for the People and Animal Learning Center, PALS, is Dr. Andy Hipskind, who is with IU Athletics. And the event is taking place August 8th this year at the Buskirk Chumley Theater, dwtcbloomington.com. Dancing with the Celebrities, Bloomington.com has all of your information. Great event, over $800,000 raised for local charities since 2007, 2008, something like that.
And as always, feel free to go to YouTube and catch videos of our very own Minister of Culture, Jim Inman, when he was on the show, on the contest,
Yep, 2009.
There you go. Yep. There you go.
We're going to take a break, folks. When we come back, we've got an encore interview with Mr. Phil Lowe from Monroe Hospital. He's the new CEO, talking about I-69, how that impacts Monroe Hospital, what he's bringing to the table for his staff and the community as well. Just a lot of good information. So please stick with us for a best of here. And then later on, we'll give you some updates on the sports scene as well. We'll be back here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here joining you. Thank you so much for tuning in to the show tonight. Of course, Friday night, 6 o'clock, Saturday morning at 8 a.m. for the replay. And if you miss any part of the show, you can always go to WGCLradio.com. And we usually have the podcast up around Saturday midday. So if you miss any part of the show, you can go and check that out as well. And of course, we're streaming on WGCLradio.com 24/7. So if you're catching us midstream and you are out or you're at home, you can always tune in via your computer, your tablet, whatever the case may be, and listen into the show there as well. Excited to have a first time guest in the studio tonight, Mr. Phil Lowe. He is the CEO of Monroe Hospital on the south side of Bloomington, the new CEO of Monroe Hospital, and glad to have you in the studio, sir.
Thank you very much, Jim. Nice to be here.
Absolutely. Tell everybody a little bit about yourself, your background, and how you ended up here in Bloomington and at Monroe Hospital.
Well, I've been a hospital CEO now for almost 30 years and have spent the majority of my time in the smaller hospitals because I believe that they can provide care that's more personable, one-on-one, in more of a family-like setting. People can know each other on a first-name basis rather than getting lost in the crowds of a larger organization. I also believe that patient satisfaction scores are higher in the smaller hospitals because of their home-like setting and the very personal quality of care we can offer to our patients. Now, as far as why I came to Monroe Hospital, I have three sweet granddaughters that live just northeast of this area. So coming to Bloomington gave me an opportunity to live closer to them and to my daughter and son-in-law. Additionally, Monroe Hospital has been through a tough time recently, and coming here would be a way for me to work at one more smaller hospital in the latter part of my career to help it grow and expand its services to meet the needs of the community. I would love to see Monroe Hospital become the community hospital of Bloomington.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, for our listeners who have never had the opportunity to visit Monroe Hospital, can you give an overview of the types of services that you and your staff provide there?
Certainly. Monroe Hospital offers 32 private rooms for our patients. Four of the 32 are special intensive care beds where patients are monitored for more serious healthcare issues. The surgery suite offers five operating rooms and two additional endoscopy rooms for colonoscopy exams. A colonoscopy is an exam that checks the condition of the patient's colon. The emergency room service offers 24-hour, 7-day-a-week emergency care provided by board-certified physicians, along with an awesome nursing and support staff. Other patient care services include respiratory care for breathing difficulties, physical therapy to help people ambulate, occupational therapy, and speech therapy services for stroke rehabilitation, cardiology or heart services including stress testing, EKGs, nuclear medicine exams, and echocardiograms. Finally, Monroe has a full-time dietitian who offers counseling for diabetics and weight loss classes.
Wonderful. Full-service center then. There's been a lot of talk, as you probably are aware of, in your role with the discussion of IU Health and IU Health Bloomington Hospital and the potential relocation for that. Explain to everybody what exactly is the relationship between Monroe Hospital and IU Health Bloomington.
Certainly. Monroe Hospital and IU Health Bloomington have worked out an agreement to be able to share the same anesthesia and radiology groups of physicians. Both groups come to our Monroe Hospital as well as the larger hospital in Bloomington, IU Health.
Wonderful. Monroe Hospital, are there other locations connected with your facility around Bloomington, around southern Indiana at all?
Well, Monroe Hospital and the Monroe Medical Group are the two main divisions of our healthcare services in Bloomington. The parent company out of Ontario, California is Prime Healthcare Services, who agreed to purchase the hospital and medical group a few months ago following the bankruptcy. Since that time, hundreds of jobs have been preserved in the community, and several physicians have been retained to provide quality healthcare services to our patients. The Monroe Medical Group has offices on Landmark as well as on the hospital campus, and several employed physicians work closely with the hospital and also to provide quality patient care services to our patients.
We're talking with Mr. Phil Lowe. He is the new CEO of Monroe Hospital here in Monroe County. Talk a little bit about the Affordable Health Care Act and how it's impacted health care and the health services industry, at least from your perspective and what you bring over your years of experience.
Well, my perspective of the Affordable Care Act is with mixed emotions. This health care law has made it more available and affordable for uninsured people to get some kind of health care coverage, even though most of the deductibles are very high and difficult for most patients to afford before the insurance begins helping with the payments. It has required insurance companies to accept pre-existing conditions when patients bring health care issues with them to a new insurance company. Also, this law requires insurances to insure family members up to the age of 26 to give these young adults time to finish their education and get some type of health insurance on their own. I believe that these are favorable benefits from the Affordable Care Act. On the other hand, hospitals and providers can be penalized now with their Medicare payments if an electronic medical record is not implemented by 2016. Several providers are frustrated with this requirement because of the time it takes them away from caring for their patients in the office. These new documentation requirements are burdensome and reduce the number of patients a physician can see in the office each day.
We're talking with Mr. Phil Lowe, the new CEO of Monroe Hospital. We're going to take a break when we come back. I-69, obviously, if any of you have been driving around Bloomington and Monroe County, you know all too well how that has impacted travel and everything. We'll see how that's impacting Monroe Hospital and what their plans are to adapt as the traffic patterns change. We'll also talk about the history of Monroe Hospital a little bit. It's obviously, for those who've been around for some time, know that there have been some challenges that they've experienced. And we'll talk to Phil about how he is bringing things to right the ship with the staff at Monroe Hospital. Stay with us. We'll be back with more here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back, everyone, to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman and Mr. Phil Lowe, the CEO of Monroe Hospital on the south side of Bloomington. And as I mentioned before the break, you know, I-69, if you travel anywhere between not really Bedford so much anymore, but just south of Bloomington on up through Martinsville and whatnot. It's all changing up instantly, daily. This week I left work one day and took one of two lanes going north on Highway 37, and the next day one lane was completely shut off. It's just a constant we're going to be dealing with for the next year, 18 months. And Phil, with I-69 coming in, that offers, I'm sure, opportunities to assist new patients, new families, and things like that. But sometimes the getting there part can be a challenge as well. So how is Monroe Hospital planning for I-69?
Well, the administrative team at Monroe Hospital has met with the I-69 planning team to clarify the impact that the new interstate will have on Monroe Hospital. We've been concerned about the placement of the blue H signs on the interstate to help guide people to the closest hospital in an emergency situation. They are working well with us to place the blue H signs on the interstate on the north side as well as the south side of the new Fullerton Pike off and on ramps.
Okay.
We believe that the new I-69 corridor will provide great opportunities for area residents of southern Indiana to access our hospital from further distances and with a much safer drive.
Wonderful. Wonderful. I mentioned this in the last segment, and I just, you know, I try not to be political or anything on the show, but I have to ask, there have been challenges with Monroe Hospital over the years. As you mentioned earlier, there was a bankruptcy. There have been changes in leadership and different things like that. What are you bringing to the table? How do you plan to come in and right things and reestablish Monroe Hospital in our community and across really southern Indiana?
Well, like you said, Monroe Hospital clearly faces some challenges of building back a culture of viability to the residents of the area. We want to show our patients that they can receive the best quality of care at our hospital and with our doctors. The hospital has recently gone through this bankruptcy that hurt the image of a beautiful and relatively new facility. When you walk in the front lobby of the Monroe Hospital, it is almost breathtaking to see how beautiful the front lobby has been designed. Also, our patient satisfaction scores have rated Monroe Hospital as one of the cleanest hospitals of southern Indiana. Truthfully, I believe Monroe Hospital has everything going for it, which offers it the potential to be the premier facility in the community. I also believe that smaller healthcare facilities can provide a special kind of personal care that is not seen in the larger medical centers. Patients are treated as part of the Monroe family, and our high patient satisfaction scores indicate a very high level of confidence in our hospital. Yes, I really do believe our potential is very high to excel in providing safe, high-quality care to our patients.
Wonderful, wonderful. Let's talk about the long-term goals and plans for Monroe Hospital. Again, with I-69 coming through, that adds some new opportunities as well. Well, you're coming on board and obviously have a positive attitude and looking forward to these updates and everything, but are we seeing potentially increased services offered through the hospital, added staff? What are you seeing for the long-term planning, if you will?
We are just now in the process of developing a strategic long-range plan to establish our long-term goals and objectives. Our mission statement comes from our corporate Prime Healthcare Services, and it reads like this. The mission of Monroe Hospital endeavors to provide comprehensive, quality health care in a convenient, compassionate, and cost-effective manner. We also have a vision statement that reads like this. Monroe Hospital is consistently at the forefront of evolving national health care reform. Our organization provides an innovative and integrated healthcare delivery system. We remain ever cognizant of our patients' needs and desires for high-quality, affordable health care. We also have four value statements. I like to read those. Compassion. We provide an environment that's caring and conducive to healing the whole person physically, emotionally, and spiritually. We respect the individual needs, desires, and rights of our patients. Quality. We believe that continuous quality of care and performance improvement are the foundation for preserving and enhancing healthcare delivery. Effective communication and education of our patients, physicians, staff, and the community we serve are essential of this process. Comprehensive services. We are committed to an integrated healthcare delivery system that encompasses the entire spectrum of healthcare delivery. This continuum of health of care encompasses all aspects of an individual's health care. And finally, cost-effective services. We offer high-quality health care that's accessible and affordable.
Wonderful. Last question, and it's the biggest one of all. What else would you like to share about Monroe Hospital, share with our listeners? Anything coming up or just why you're excited to be here now?
Yes, good. I'm just grateful to be part of such a wonderful organization with so much potential. We have wonderful employees, most of which who have survived some difficult times over the past several months. They are truly the best in the whole world. I'm looking forward to working together to build up Monroe Hospital and to provide wonderful and high-quality care to our patients over the next many, many years.
Wonderful. Mr. Phil Lowe has been our guest this evening, and MonroeHospital.com for more information about that. And anytime you'd like to come back on, Phil, we'd love to have you.
We'd love to.
Wonderful. We're going to take a break, come back with more. Stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. Mr. Pillar, the floor is yours, sir. Take it away.
Well, sports time, Jim. Kind of the high school seasons are finished and wrapped up, so we have to go back to some college news, a little bit of IU stuff, and then, can you believe it, we're already looking at the Colts training camp schedule. So good stuff there. Kyle Schwarber had a great six-game run with the Cubs, but to no surprise, because it's what they had planned on doing the entire time. After the game in Minnesota on Sunday, Schwarber sent back down to Des Moines for the Cubs AAA team. Schwarber was announced, though, that he'd be representing the Cubs in the Minor League Baseball Futures game coming up. So the accolades continue to roll in, but he did an outstanding job, Jim, in his kind of trial in the big leagues. No one had any concerns about that, but very excited to see how he's going to continue to progress behind the plate as a catcher. And again, talking with Joe Smith last week on Glass in the Morning, you know, Joe's pretty confident that Schwarber can catch in the major league. So I certainly hope Joe is right. Another former Hoosier, Noah Vonleh, who was drafted by the New Orleans Hornets. Charlotte Hornets. That's why I was confused with New Orleans and Charlotte back and forth. But the Charlotte Hornets, Noah was traded to the Portland Trail Blazers as a part of a deal that brought Nicholas Batum from Portland to Charlotte. So we wish Noah the best as he's now heading out west. Virginia, the Cavs beat Vanderbilt in the College World Series 2-1. Vandy won the first game, and actually Virginia came back and won the next two. And then, Jim, last Sunday night, I know that you don't have live TV anymore, but Jordan Spieth won the U.S. Open out at Chambers Bay in Washington. Spieth kind of had a little meltdown on number 17. Dustin Johnson came in, had an eagle putt for the win, had a birdie putt for the tie, and ended up three putting. Missed one that you and I would still struggle with, but he's a pro. missed a short putt and ended up losing out to Jordan Spieth and losing the opportunity to play on an 18-hole playoff. And Spieth walks away with $1.8 million for his work. And I mean work, because he played 72 golf holes, this past weekend. And now he is the sixth player and the youngest to ever win the first two, the Masters and the U.S. Open, first two majors in one year. So we'll be anxiously awaiting to see how he does in the British Open and see if he can keep it rolling.
Mm-hmm.
The Hoosiers continue to add football players to the class of 2016. Keep note, this is not for this coming season, but Ashawn Riggins, Hamilton High School just outside of Cincinnati, was a top priority in the Indiana's 2016 recruiting class. He took a scholarship from the Hoosiers over Iowa, Illinois, and West Virginia, among others. He's 6 feet tall, 160 pounds. Cornerback, is considered a three-star prospect by rivals in 24/7 Sports. He was selected to last year's All-Greater Miami Conference first team as a junior after making three interceptions, which tied him for third in the league. So we will see, hopefully, we will see Mr. Riggins here in Bloomington next year. Baseball, softball, and karate are among the shortlisted sports for inclusion in the 2020 Summer Games in Tokyo for the Olympics. Baseball, softball, bowling, karate, roller sports, sport climbing, squash, surfing, and wushu, a Chinese martial art, which I'm sure you knew, Jim, are the latest sports to make the cut. Air sports, American football, Baseball, softball, bowls, bowling, bridge, chess, dance, sports, and a bunch of others were the among the 26 originally selected. But as we said, those other eight or nine were the ones that would be making it. It looks like September 30th will be the time they're going to pick these sports. Baseball and softball, which were last contested at the 2008 Olympics, are considered early favorites to return due in part to their popularity in Japan. As we said, Jim, the Colts released their schedule for this year's training camp at Anderson University. The team will report on August 1st, with the first day of practice Sunday, August 2nd. The Colts are back at Anderson for the sixth consecutive season after originally holding camp there from 1984 to 1998. Camp will be located at the Kardatsky Wellness Center, Mile Colts Stadium Complex, located in the northeast section of campus. Fans can access this area via University Boulevard and Fifth Street campus free of charge, although visitors will have to pay to park. Lots of cool stuff, fun stuff, giveaways, all that stuff like that. So anyway, this all, again, kicks off. Jim, kicks off. It's football season.
I'm with you.
Sunday, August 2nd.
Not tips off.
And then, And then camp wraps up Saturday, August 15th, and then they're going to start playing games, and it's just crazy. The thing
that kind of stinks is that if you're a high school football player, you probably can't get to one of those public practices because school's starting.
Be practicing
so early.
Yourself. That's it.
Yeah.
So anyway, it is wild that football season is right around the corner. Anyway, the Reds are on the radio as always here on WGCL. Let's see. The Red Legs are going to be starting Monday, Tuesday, hosting the Minnesota Twins. And then Friday, Saturday, 7:10, 7:15, Milwaukee Brewers, also at the Great American Ballpark. So,
I wonder if they'll be doing fireworks after the game on the 4th of July.
I can imagine they probably will. Probably both nights. You never know.
You never know.
But anyway, WGCL is your home for Reds radio coverage. So make sure you check that out. Anyway, that's about it for sports. Again, we've got, other stuff we'll talk about next week. NBA draft, Major League Baseball All-Star Game also coming to Cincinnati. So other stuff we'll just wrap up next week when we have a little bit more time.
All right, let's come back. Let's talk a little bit about fireworks locally for next weekend and skinny jeans because I know you're on the edge of your seat about it. Much more here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Minman and David Pillar here with you. Thanks again for tuning in to the show here either on Friday night or on Saturday morning. If you're catching us on Saturday, coming up next, Your Money with David Hayes. David and Doug Hughes are in the studio this week, and I don't know what they're talking about, but stay
tuned. It's going to be good.
It's always good. It's always fun with David and Doug. So
it's going to be good.
Mr. Pillar, forecast for the weekend.
Hey, if you're with us on Friday night, 80% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly before midnight. Low around 64. Saturday, 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms earlier in the day. Mostly cloudy, high near 74. Saturday night, mostly clear with a low around 52.
Woo!
And then Sunday, sunny with a high near 76. So get outside. Have a good time on Sunday. As always, stay tuned, WGCLradio.com for all your weather. All the time.
So next weekend is 4th of July weekend. A lot of people are observing the 4th on Friday the 3rd. So if you have the opportunity, a quick rundown of some of the events taking place next weekend, according to our friends at visitbloomington.com.
We love them, by the way.
Food Truck Friday, of course, so that's all going on. The Speedway Annual Fireworks taking place next Friday evening. Time starts at 5:30 p.m. Doesn't mean the fireworks are going to start then, but that's when the gates open. So if you want to do that, check it out. Comedy Attic is doing a 4th of July weekend as well downtown. Paintown out at Lake Monroe next Friday evening. $7 per vehicle for that. Again, all of this is at visitbloomington.com. There is also the Green County Fireworks, which I believe are next Friday evening as well. That's put on by the Green County Fire Department, if I'm not mistaken. Ellettsville, though, I'm trying to find, and I'm not seeing it. And so I will put the link up at facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview for fireworks. Are you going to do any fireworks next weekend?
I have no idea. I have no idea if what we'll do.
Well, it's okay. They'll be around. I mean...
Yeah, fireworks are just never really. I've enjoyed it with my family and kind of at some friends, but it's tough to go places where there's giant crowds of people, and you kind of have to be a part of a mass movement to get in, and then wait in a mass line to get out. And
Speaking of masses waiting.
Yeah, yeah.
Skinny jeans.
Yeah, I know this is one that is near and dear to your heart, Jim. A woman was hospitalized in Australia for days after her jeans caused her to lose feeling in her legs. The studies, the Journal of Neurology, Neurosurgery, and Psychiatry, which of course I read every week, obviously,
yep.
Said that squatting in skinny jeans can damage nerves and muscles in your legs. A 35-year-old woman had spent her day helping a relative move, squatting for hours as she emptied closets. When she was walking home that night, her feet grew numb and she tripped and fell. Immobilized, Jim, she spent hours on the ground before she was found and rushed to the hospital.
Gosh.
There's so much happening here. We blame what happened on a combination of prolonged squatting for hours and the tight jeans she was wearing, said Dr. Thomas Kimber, who treated the patient. Doctors were forced to cut the jeans off her calves because they had become so swollen. Normally, muscles can expand to compensate for swelling, but there was a tourniquet effect, so the muscles had to expand inward and compressed blood vessels and nerves. She lost circulation in her lower legs, couldn't move her ankles or toes. If she hadn't been able to come to the hospital, the compression could have gone on longer and caused residual nerve damage, said Kimber, who was an associate professor at the Royal Adelaide Hospital in Australia. After 4 days, Jim, on an IV.
4 days?
4 days on an IV, she could walk again and was released from the hospital. So, again, as we think about our fashion, safety first, as we always preach here on the Bloomington Review.
Speaking of safety first.
I've got another one for you.
Love this one.
According to the Indianapolis Star, a woman's truck nearly ended up in the downtown Indianapolis Canal Thursday, yesterday. After she followed the directions on her GPS, the woman was trying to get to an Indianapolis hospital where her daughter was having a baby. Emergency crews arrived, prepared for a water rescue, and found a pickup truck stopped on the canal plaza. A front tire dipped into the canal north of 10th Street. The woman said her GPS directed her to the canal.
Was she transporting said daughter to the hospital at said
based
time?
Based on the article we have, it just seems like she was on her way. You'll be in downtown Indianapolis this weekend for a big event.
I will.
That you do.
Yeah, Children's Organ Transplant Association. We've got we have our second annual Miracle Maker Celebration at the Indianapolis Museum of Art this Saturday evening. About 300 attendees for a sit-down dinner. Dari Noka from ESPN is going to be one of our featured speakers. He and his wife lost a son a few years back who was waiting for a heart transplant, so it'll be a good night. Looking forward to the all-around fun gathering, if you will.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it, Jim.
What are you doing this weekend? Anything fun?
No, we've got family business that we're going to be participating in, some family activities, and then I think Sunday we're just going to be laying low, but lots to do in Bloomington if you want to, Jim, this weekend. All weekend long, AAU Girls Basketball National Championships are in town at Twin Lakes and at Bloomington High School North. Cardinal Stage Company has Hairspray. Then on Friday, we've got the Friday Concert in the Park, Krista Detour. And then Tommy Jonigan is at the Comedy Attic all weekend, Jim. I don't know if you've ever seen Tommy Jonigan. He is absolutely hilarious, and it's outstanding stuff. Saturday, Bugfest. Bugfest at the Hilltop Garden and Nature Center, 10 to 3. And then Butler Wine and Wildlife, 6 to 9 on Sunday. Wine for the adults, birds and animals for the kids. Everyone's happy. So good stuff.
Visit Bloomington.com for all of that. Thanks again to Phil Lowe. We will talk to you all next week. Bye-bye.